It's awful hard to come out of the presence of God, you know, in that place of expectancy and then get all calmed down. It's awful hard. You know, I just seen this in my Bible that was in the back, and I just happened to see it. It says, the greatest thing your heart can experience is God's presence. Ain't that something? You know, we're here to encounter his presence every time we come in together as a family. At any point in time we come into this place, we want his presence to come in. This morning, I want to talk about prayer and it being focused. Focused prayer. So I'm going to turn to James 5, 13 to 17. And it says in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the Lord of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Today I felt, you know, I kind of wait and let the Lord lead me in where we want to go each week, and it was like Thursday night when he said, I want you to talk about prayer. Don't you hate that when you have to wait that long? You ever had to wait that long to get an answer?
I wish he gives it to you early.
I know. I know. That's early, isn't it?
It is early.
You know, most people have it all planned out for the year. I don't know how you do it. Erasers? Backspace. But you know, he wanted me to talk about prayer and being focused. What was it, 4 weeks ago, before we took off on vacation, I talked about four things I wanted us to pray as a church, to have the same heartbeat, the same spirit, and same mind, as when God looks down at our church, he sees one spirit and one body beating the same thing. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. How many have been praying those prayers? How many have been seeking God in those things? Well, we're one body, one spirit moving. It means that it would be all together. We would be one. That's even you, God Squad. That's even you. You're no different than us. I don't care what your age is. You are just like us. This is your church. Do you want to see the power of God move? You want to see the heart of God change people's lives? It all reflects on how we engage in the Father. You're not separate from us. You are one with us. Even though sometimes you guys go downstairs and hear Zach preach or speak or talk or whatever you guys do down there, you know, have counseling sessions, whatever. I know you're not playing games. You guys are getting the word. I know that. But for you guys to know what's going on in the church that you come into, you need to listen to the word at home. What's going on? Whoever's at this pulpit, even though you guys are downstairs, you need to be as one with us. So if you know the direction that the church is going as what is being preached at the pulpit, then you become one with us. You're not separate. You're not a branch off of us. You are one with us. Amen. So when we pray together as one body. We are going to see the same things. In your youth group, in your groups and everything that you guys do, whenever you guys go out into the streets, you're going to see the same power that this church demonstrates. The ones that don't want to engage in these prayers that we're talking, this is four simple prayers, are going to be on the outside. You're going to still come along, but you're going to kind of be on the outside. So I want you to engage in those. And I put those on our Calvary webpage, or not webpage, but our Facebook page, that list, so you can go there and find it. And then we're going to talk about prayer today. But I want us to have the same heart, same goals, and same mind as Christ. In the scripture, we read things. And you've all read the scriptures. You read through the Bible. Certain places, you know, might open it up and read, and you take it at face value. You know, and I've done that for many, many years. But as I've gotten older and as I've learned to discern the Bible, I look at it and I see spiritual things come forth of the things that I read. So, some things that stand out in the scriptures today that I read, in James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, here's what I really want you to see. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, if you would take effective out, would it be the same? Fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or if you would take righteous out, would it be the same? We need all three of those things to make a progression towards prayer. Avail means to help or benefit or gain or get an advantage. So you need all three of these, the effectiveness, a fervent prayer of a righteous man gets an advantage. You get a benefit. So you can't live your life how you want to and then go to the Lord on your knees and say, okay, here I am. I want to pray. I want to pray my heart out, but I'm living my life totally wrong. It doesn't work that way. We cannot live, and I said it last week, you're either in or you're out. You're either in the door or you're out of the door. My dad used to say, either in the door or out. Shut the door or close or open the door. One or the other. Remember some of you guys, some of you elderly people, whenever you would open up the ice box and you would just stand there and look at it? Anybody been there and your kids do that? Shut the door. You still do it today. You pay the electric bill. But you cannot live on the inside. You can live either one place or the other. You cannot live halfway in the door. You have to be either in or out. You're full in or you're fully out. And we all talked about that last week, that God says he does not like to be lukewarm. He's going to do what? He's going to spit you out of his mouth. In James 5:17, it says, Elijah was a man, a nature like ours, that he prayed and it did not rain for 3.5 years. He is a man like us. That means we have the same power, the same way to pray, that we could cause it not to rain. Or we could cause it to rain, sonny. Yeah. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within us. We have the power to lay hands on the sick. It tells us that. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Focused prayer is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. Being fervent in prayer, I mean concentrated, focused prayer. It's not when your mind goes wandering. Who makes a shopping list? You make a shopping list? I bet you don't make a shopping list when you pray, do you? You don't make a shopping list when you pray, do you? So, when we make a shopping list and we go to the store, we go get the can of corn, we go get this, and we buy it, and we're done. Once we got it, we're done, correct? Some of us like the window shop. Some of our prayers are like the way we shop. We grab our notes of who we're supposed to pray for, and we pray, and we move to the next one. It's just like a ritual that we do. It's a move-on thing. I did my prayers today, but that's all it is. It's not focused, concentrated. When I was, my brother-in-law got diagnosed with a leukemia, the one that was here Sunday. And this is where the Lord began to teach me, even though I knew, but this is where he began to teach me the focused prayer. something that really grabbed my heart. You know, it's life or death. This guy's going to die if we don't pray. The only way to win the battle is through prayer. So I began to focus. I mean, that's all I focused on. I would try to get the word for the church together, but I was focused on prayer. I was concentrated. One thing only. Nothing else mattered but that prayer. Daily, I would seek God about the situation. Daily, I would not see anything. But I daily kept praying for him to be healed. Concentrated, fervent prayer of a righteous man says avail as much. It gives you benefits. It would be so easy for me or Sonny or Zach or Mark or anyone who steps into the pulpit, Sean, just to get up here and pray for you guys. And that would be great, wouldn't it? You wouldn't have to do anything. But God wants you guys to engage in a conversation with him. There's a lot of issues we have in our hearts. There's a lot of issues we have in our life. And when we start to engage in him in a fervent prayer, a concentrated prayer, God begins to answer those prayers. So today we want to talk about prayer. Not the prayers that we just read down the line and say we prayed. There's an old thing that everybody says that if you teach a man or if you give a man a fish, he can eat a meal. But if you teach the man how to fish, he will eat all his life. This is what prayer is about, that you may live all your life getting answers to prayer. There's this little boy. He had this job. There's this big rock that needed to be moved. And his dad says, I want you to go move this rock. So the little boy, he's about 6 years old. He's tried everything in his power to move this rock. And he can't budge it a bit. So his dad has been watching him, kind of just seeing what he's doing, you know, off to the side and watching him. And he finally walks over to the little boy and he says, what's going on? He says, and the little boy says, I've done everything I can do, but I just can't seem to move this rock. And his dad said, are you sure you have done everything that you can do in your power? He said, yes, I've done everything. And his dad said, you've done everything but ask me for help. Sometimes we try to do it all on our own, and we need to ask the Father for help. And you know what? We're his little children, and he will help us every which way that we need to be helped. So as we start getting into the meat of this thing, I want to talk about a little bit of symbolism in the Bible. Okay, I'm going to talk about a couple things. So we're going to talk about, we read the Bible at face value. So when you read in Genesis where Adam and Eve sinned, and then they realized that they ate of the fruit that they weren't supposed to eat of, they noticed they were naked. So they clothed themselves with fig leaves. And then it says later on in the scripture, it says that God came along and clothed them with animal skins. Face value, what's that say? God didn't like their clothes, and he put new ones on them. Fig trees wasn't enough. But what we see symbolically is blood had to be shed to cover the sins that was made. Symbolically, we see that. Spiritually, we see that. There's so many of these things in the Bible, and I'm just going to bring one more out. Another would be Noah. So Noah is building this ark. He's preaching to all these people, telling them that God is going to send rain and he's going to flood the earth. And you know, you need to seek God with all your heart and all your mind. You need to find the Lord. And they all did not heed the voice of the Lord. It comes time that it's ready to go to rain, and God says, get into the ark. God shuts the door and it begins to rain. Everyone perishes. Now, symbolically, that says something different. That says This world, it also says, as in the days of Noah, the end shall be. In this world, there's going to be, everyone in this world is going to hear the voice of God or the word of God, and they're going to reject it. There's only going to be a few that get raptured out in the end times that will be taken into the ark. There were seven people that got brought into the ark along with the animals. Everyone else in the earth perished. That's a big thing. The world is lost, and it's going to be lost unless you guys as the church goes out and helps bring them in. Not everyone's going to heed the voice. Not everyone's going to heed it because they're going to reject it. We know that. But there are going to be some that are out there. You know, God, Jesus said that if you had 100 sheep and one was lost, I would go out and search. I'd leave the 99 alone and I would go find that lost one. He's going to use each and every one of you to find that lost one, to bring them in. Because he doesn't want to see any lost. So now let's get into the really meat of the thing, focused prayer. We're going to have a few points on this, but I want to look at the word incense this morning. Exodus 30, verse 6 and 7. And you shall put a veil, or you shall put it before the veil that is before the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning when he tends the lamp. He shall burn incense on it. We see in this passage that Aaron was to go every morning and burn incense before the Lord. He was supposed to meet with him every morning, burning this incense. It's a sweet aroma before the Lord. It was well-pleasing to him. Now, what we read is it's incense. It's a sweet fragrance. This is Old Testament. Okay? But everything in the Old Testament teaches us how to live out our life in the New Testament. So God meets us at the burning of incense. So eventually we're going to have to find out what incense is. In Acts 13:2, it says, as the disciples ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them to do. Take note, as they ministered to the Lord, then God spoke. So what we do during worship, sometimes some of you might think it's a long extended period of time of worship. Some of you might just want two or three songs. That's not who we are. Our goal is to have the presence of God so thick in this place that it touches each and every one that comes in. I really can't see that us ministering to God with one or two songs. I can't see it. Because something has to happen in our heart, something has to happen in our minds, in our spirit, because we walk out and live our life all week long in chaos. If we're not fully engaged in our walk at home with God, and we're not engaged in prayer and conversation with the Father at home, then we are lost when we walk in these doors. And it takes 5 to 6 songs to get you engaged, to give honor and glory to the King of Kings, to get your mind off of the life that you've been living. We are supposed to minister to the Lord, and then he speaks. How many times, and some of you have been around a long time, has anybody just had a word in a church service outside of being in, when you started, so the music team hasn't even played yet, people just still gathering, and then you have a word? Very seldom. You've been around some of this stuff for a long time. Have you ever had someone step up and give a word before worship started? Very, very rare. But it all reflects out of ministering to the Lord. Okay? I'm jumping around just a little bit here. So what they did, they ministered to the Lord and then they got results. Now, that's what we see here when we minister to God in worship. We are ministering to him. We are acknowledging him that he is above all things. He is everything to us. And we have to, I'm trying to think of the word. No, not surrender. It's not all about me, but it has to be about God. I still haven't found the word, but I'll get it in a little bit. Sometimes I get focused on myself, and I lose focus on God. And I think sometimes we do that, huh? Die to flesh. Yeah, somewhat. But my heart has to be towards him. And so when I engage and I begin to minister to him, then I release. I'm not the priority. He is. I surrender. Surrender is the good word. So here's the first thing. So what is ministering to God and what is the incense? Okay? I said all that stuff to get to this. Number one, praise and thanksgiving. This is the New Testament incense. Praise and thanksgiving. Look at Psalms 141, 1 and 2. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as in the evening sacrifice. We should be thankful every day. It's good to recognize God and put our trust in him. See, sometimes we put our trust in ourselves. You know, when we have a problem, how many people go straight to God instead of us dealing with it? We try to deal with it ourselves. You know, we'll put God on the back burner. He's our last resort. But he should be our first action, our first choice in acting. Even when life gives us rotten apples, God still can make apple pie out of those things. We need to be thankful constantly, even when life gives us turmoil. My brother-in-law, when he went through this thing, he went through a deep depression. You know, you're dying. You're going to die. How would each one of us react to that word given to us? First of all, you would focus your eyes on God. He is our hope. He will provide. Psalms 104 says, enter to his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. So we don't come into our prayer life and just start to rattle off things for God before God. We ought to be able to start to encourage and uplift him. Father God, I just thank you for what's going on in my life. Even though life sucks, okay? Even though sometimes life sucks. I mean, you've probably been there. Life is not going as well as you think it is. But I still give you glory, God. I set a time and just begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you. See, that's what music does. It helps us use those musical lyrics to help praise him. You know, you can open up the book of Psalms and begin to read the book of Psalms and see what David went through and begin to praise him. Even though David went through a lot of stuff that was very difficult, it took him 15 years to become king, and he was anointed king, you know, 15 years before that. He's walking out stuff that Saul's trying to kill him, and he's still praising God. He's still playing the harp. He's still doing the things and ministering to the Father. God said that David was after his own heart. Even though David killed a man. But David was still after God's own heart. Why? Because he ministered to the Lord. He knew that he was the one. He was the higher power. He was the one that he had to focus on and look to in everything that he did. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. That's where we come in. Entering into that place. You know, you might say it's a ritual, it's a thing that, this is what we have to do to get there. You want to see results? Prayer is just not a thing that you slap together and you pray. Prayer is a thing that you engage in. When you engage in something that is really major, you will spend the time for it. You want to see God's hand turn on things? Enter in and engage on this situation, and you'll see God's hand turn on it. Revelation 8:3 says, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was giving much incense, comma, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. He was given much incense. This is the praise and thanksgiving before the Lord. This is the incense, the sweet aroma. See, when you worship and praise God, glorifying Him and thanking Him for the things in your life, this is a sweet aroma that He smells. Okay? Then these prayers come up before the Lord. The second thing is knowing God's will. Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do I pray for things that are not the will of the Father? Do you pray to win the lottery? I don't know if that's the will of the Father or not in your life. You know? Do you pray to lay hands on the sick? Is that the will of God in your life? It is. It says, come before the elders of the church. And it says, we are supposed to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Matthew, at the end of Matthew and all of the gospel says, go out to all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick. Okay? That is what we are called to do. So we can pray that prayer. How do we pray it? Earnestly, effectively, of a righteous man? How do we pray it? Or do we just say a prayer? Lord, give me power. Lord, I want to lay hands on the sick, but and then we walk away and move to the next thing. Do we earnestly pray for these things? I don't know how you can have a list and earnestly pray unless you're praying all day long. I mean, when I was praying for my brother-in-law, my list really shrunk. It really shrunk to hardly anything except this. Are you praying for the things that are not in the will of the Father? If you are, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. Third thing, be specific. Be specific. So we've talked about blind Bartimaeus before. Blind Bartimaeus is, Jesus is coming into town, and blind Bartimaeus is heard that he's coming, and he begins to cry out, have mercy on me! Have mercy on me! And Jesus stopped, and he turned to him, and he says, have mercy on you. What do you need? What do you need? That I may receive my sight. As soon as he was specific, Jesus healed him. We need to be specific in what we want and what we ask. I'm moving through them pretty quick. I got 9 of them. Number 4. Meditate on the scriptures. Meditate on the scriptures. This is all above your prayer time. Your prayer time is totally separate from this. This is the basics of where to get to this, your prayer time. Meditate on the scriptures. We need to see what the Bible says about specific things that we want to pray. Praying the word back to God is a great thing to meditate on. Reciting and remembering scriptures is a great thing to do. So if I wanted to lay hands on the sick, what scriptures should I read? I probably should be meditating on the things that God done in scripture that says Jesus healed them all, or Jesus raised the dead, or whatever it is. I should be meditating on those things that Jesus did. Or any scripture that deals with healing, I should be meditating on that. If I need joy in my spirit, I should be meditating on the things that talk about joy in the Word. I should be reciting those joyful scriptures. Righteous, if I want to be righteous, I should be reading and reciting those things that are righteous in our spirit. Meditate on the things that you need in your life. God's word is true. It's living and breathing. It's still alive. It changes people. It changes people. It changes our perspective of what we're really thinking. Because, see, we get our mind, and we're thinking our mind, but we're not thinking God's mind until we begin to meditate on God's word, and then our mind gets changed into God's mind, or we are like Christ-minded, okay? Christ-minded like. We want to change our perspective before we pray. We want to have God's mind in it and heart. The fifth thing, pray with an expectant heart and with faith. If we are praying the will of the Father, then we should be expecting God to move. Mark 11, 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Go back up a couple points here. Praying the will of the Father in your life. Not whatever you ask, what you think you need, but what the Father says you need. The will of the Father in your life. That's what you pray. See, if you don't know the will of the Father in your life, you can pray all kinds of sorts of prayers, but it never lines up to what God has for your life. So if you ask, you will receive if it's in the line and will of the Father. Find out what the will of the Father is in your life. How do you do that? Begin a relationship. Begin to read the Word. Let that Word come alive in you. Read the Scriptures that you need to read. If you need joy, if you need whatever you need in your life, read the Scriptures and meditate on those things, and you begin to get the mind of Christ in your heart. And then you can ask what you want, and the Father will give. Because He wants you to have those things. Number six, present your prayer boldly. When we pray, most oftentimes we go from one thing to the next. Not boldly, we're just kind of just saying it. If you were bold, how could I? If I meant business, I would mean business. Zach, I mean business today, right? I'm coming boldly before you. Right? I know Zach can handle it. But you know what I'm saying? You become bold. This is what I need, God. Don't be passive. Present it boldly. When we pray, okay, a good prayer warrior is someone that takes up a point and prays through it until there is an assurance that it is done. That means you pray. So when I was praying for my brother-in-law, I would pray until there was an assurance in my spirit. There was a release. That might have been an hour. That might have been 2 hours. But you prayed until there was a release in your spirit. You don't give up. You don't quit. You know, you think about Abraham wrestling the angel, and he didn't let go. Too many times we let go because we got something else to do. Is it really that important to us? We need to be bold about the things that we do. Being a good prayer warrior, I'm going to say it again, is someone that takes up a point and prays through until there is an assurance of the Spirit in your heart before you move on to the next. That's why I say you might not get to the next one. Hebrews 4, 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Isaiah 41:21 says, "Present your case so the Lord, says the Lord, bring forth your strong reasons, says the king of Jacob." So if you were in trouble and you had to have a lawyer, and he was going to present this case to the judge, would you want a passive lawyer that really didn't really engage in the topics of what you needed? Or would you want someone that fought for you, come boldly to the judge and say, "Hey, this is the issue. This is what they did. This is totally wrong of what the enemy is saying. This is the true covering right here." You would want a lawyer that fights for you. See, Christ fought for us. And we could come boldly before Him because He's going to come boldly for the Father and say, "I died for them. My blood was shed for them. Now they have freedom. They are access open. Access is open to heaven to them." So we got to come boldly. We want someone that can do that. Jesus is that guy. Number seven, we need to be serious. We need to be serious. Prayer can be something that we just do. It cannot be something that we just do. It's got to be something serious. God is a reverent God. He is a God. He is above all things. He made the universe. We can't come in there haphazardly. You know, it's great to have conversations with him, and I'm not talking about none of that. That's when you get in a car and you see Jesus sitting beside you and you communicate with him. I'm talking about serious prayers, serious things that's in your life that you need changed or you want to see happen. This is what we're talking about, serious prayers, when you want to see God's hand move in it. We need to be serious. It's not a game. Kids, when you find this out, our ceiling is your floor. And the things that we've had to go through to get to where we're at today, you guys are going to take off from that spot and go way past that. If you put these things into action, man, you're going to see God move mightily in your life. Number 8, we must be persistent. Just because I prayed one time for a thing and I felt a release, I pray again the next day until I see the thing come to fruition. Now, we'll just go back to my brother-in-law again. Stage 5 leukemia, 95% leukemia in his blood. Basically, they gave him a couple days. We began to pray as a family. We began to pray individually. We didn't stop that next day, but we prayed again on our own. And we began to seek the heart of God in everything that we did. One day, I had been in the spring, in the summer, and I was really engaged in a prayer. And I was putting a roof on at the time, and I was by myself, and I was engaged, just really engaged, and began to seek the heart of God on the situation. Because we hadn't really seen a move. You know, and we've been praying for a month or so. I really hadn't seen God move. We've seen some things, but, you know, he's still alive and he's still doing good. He's still fighting. And as I had to go to the barn for a minute, and I've told you this before, but I was engaged in this prayer. And as I was walking to the barn, I began to pray in the spirit. And as I looked up, I could see this angel about 20 foot tall. I mean, just brilliant. He's in the air. He didn't say a word, but I knew exactly what he meant, that the answer had came. I didn't stop praying even though I heard the answer that way. I still kept praying continually. I didn't pray as aggressive as I did before because I had the assurance. I had the assurance that God had already moved. And when I seen that, I knew that God had moved. And you can go back to Daniel where it says, you know, you prayed. I heard you. I've been fighting the prince of Persia. And finally I got here 21 days later. The prayer was answered the day you prayed. But God said, continually pray, continually keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. Press in, be persistent in what you need. The will of the Father is to have someone healed, to have his life changed, to be a representative of God to his family, for him to change someone else's life, to have a testimony about what God can do. This is what it's all about. You and I can co-labor with God to how any situation that somebody's going through, even though you might not get the glory, even though I know that my brother-in-law is going to give God so much testimony, I'm just a back guy in the back burner, and I don't care. I know God answers prayer through us. And that's all that matters, that someone's life was changed, someone's life was healed. And like we said today, he was sitting here with no leukemia in his blood whatsoever, you know. Here he was in church. Now, is he taking precautions? Yeah, he's taking precautions. But you know what? He is working every day now, 8 hours a day, comes home and works when he couldn't do that before. So I know God is on the move, and he's still answering prayers today. But it had to be persistent. It didn't happen the first time we prayed. You know, how many would like that you go lay hands on the sick and they recover right then, and all of a sudden you can go to the next person to lay hands on the sick again, and they'll recover. Sometimes God wants to teach us something. Sometimes he wants to teach us persistence. He wants us to keep moving forward. You know, if we had that kind of power where we laid hands on the sick and it was over, we would get conceited. It would be about us. But you know, it's got to be all about God. It cannot be about us. We have to put God on the forefront. Just because we prayed, we are in a spiritual battle. For an issue doesn't mean we stop. We continue until we see it come to pass. Luke 11, 5 through 13 says, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me and is on his journey. And I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he has needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Excuse me. "And it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" Be persistent. Be persistent. The 9th thing, actually I only got 9 things. I didn't have 10. I scratched that one off. I'll make it shorter for you. Rejoice and give thanks as it was already done. Rejoice and give thanks as it was already done. Kind of hard to do sometimes when you're in the midst of the battle. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. 16 says, "Rejoice always." Rejoice always. I like the way he broke it up here. Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Then 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I say these things because I want to see this church do the miraculous. I want to see the Spirit of God in this place, that we see dead men raised. I'm literally talking dead men raised. I'm talking about dead men that have been still alive, but they're living, but they're dead inside. The Spirit of God that just changes them. See, because the way we engage in the presence of God, and when God's presence radiates in this place, it goes out. And people see and people know when they walk in the door. When I say pray those 4 things, if you really want to see God move, be fervent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer until we see God start to move. You know, I haven't had a word of knowledge for a long time, and when that word came up this morning, it's like, man, God, that sounds weird. You know, you ever have that, Sonny? That's weird. I ain't had that for a long time. It's like, okay, nobody has abdominal pain. All right, God, you told me wrong. Right. But you know, that's the process of listening to him. I want to close in the book of Psalms. I didn't give you these scriptures, so don't worry about it. But you can turn to the book of Psalms and go to Psalms 139, and that's the first one. I'm only going to read like the first part of the psalm. And we're going to move on to the end of the chapter this way. We're going to close out this way because I want to give thanks to the Lord. And I like the way David did this. At the very end of the Psalms, he goes into asking. He's in this place of distraught. So let's just look at it. Psalms 139, he says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain. Search me, O God. This is one of our things that we want God to do in our prayers. This is one of the things is search. Father, we want to give you every access to every part of this building. Okay, and we said that building represents the body, the spirit that lives within you, right? Your soul, the place. So some of you guys, do you guys know the prayers? So here's the number one. God, you have access to every place in this church. That's from every closet to every corner to every cabinet to everything. You have access to everything. You have free reign in this place. That's the prayer. Reflect that to your life. This is the temple of God that we come in and serve. The temple of God that the Holy Spirit resonates in is right here, right? Each one of us has the temple of God. Each one of us stores the temple of God. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit resides within you. The Spirit of God lives here. You are the temple of God. Now, that same prayer, this is probably the longest prayer that you will engage in. You have every access to my life. To everything that is hidden, to everything that I have stuffed down, to everything that I have put back on the back burner that I built walls around 4 feet thick. I don't even want those things to come out. But man, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he gives you wisdom and guidance, he begins to tear down these walls and he begins to break the things that hinder you from moving forward. Sometimes we can't move forward because of the things that happened in the past. Sometimes we got to get rid of those things or whatever it takes, and the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and guidance in it. This is a work in progress. This doesn't happen overnight. It happens day after day after day after day, seeking the Father, seeking his will, seeking his heart in the matter. It doesn't happen just because you want it to happen. It happens because the Father changes your heart. And then you begin to surrender to the Father. Search me, O God. This is David saying this, telling us at the end of the Psalms, Psalms 140, it says, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. They continue to gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. So he's dealing with trouble. And he's saying, deliver me, God. So search me, God. Now deliver me. Psalms 141. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense. The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now I'm in surrender. Lord, I cry out to you because I can't do it myself, but I cry out to you. Psalms 142 is also, I cry out to you, Lord, with my voice. With my voice to the Lord, I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. It's a progression up to this point. Search me, O God, what's going on inside me. And now I'm getting to cry out, deliver me from my evil things, the enemy that's trying to attack me. And now I'm trying to say, here I am, I need you. 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me. And in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He had made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is a distress. So we're still laying it out before the Lord. Giving the issues, giving the problems. See, these are the things that the Holy Spirit will lead you in. These are those walls, these are these things that have been blocked in that you haven't let go. It could be all kinds of things. It could be abuse. It could be something that you need forgiveness for. It could be anything that hinders you from moving forward. You'll never find those things out unless you seek the Father and say, search me. I give you free access. I give you everything in my life you can have. Does it mean it's going to hurt? Oh, yeah. Is it going to be hard? Oh, yeah. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Right? Is that the scripture? The scripture say that? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That means when I have to do what I have to do to break down that wall in front of me, it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever had to do. But all of a sudden, when you do it, those walls come down, and there is a refreshing and a place to move forward in Him. Tough prayer. Have every access to my soul. Tough prayer. Psalms 144. Now I change. I start to change. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. He's blessing the Lord now. Man, he's really pouring it on. Man, God, I bless you. He's already poured out his heart. He's already sought the Father's face. And now he said, man, God, I bless you. I love you, Lord. I bless you. And just encourage, you know, that's this aroma before the Lord. Psalms 145. He's still in this same place. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Continually uplifting the Lord. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This is what we do. This is what we do. 146, we're still in that same place. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. I like the way he finishes this. This is awesome. 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the heights. Praise him from all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens. And the waters of the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commands, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever, and he made a decree which shall not pass away. And you could go on that. 149. Sing or praise the Lord, he says. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the assembly of all the saints, of the saints. In Psalms 150, I'm going to read the whole thing, which is short. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flute. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And he finishes it, praise the Lord. So now as we close this morning, there's prayers that each one of you have that each one of you need to really engage in. Not only is it for the church. Not only is it for this community. I really believe that God wants to move through this congregation, you individually, and us corporately. I really believe God wants to do some mighty works. We've seen this years ago. We've had visions of things that happened. We've talked about those things. But it doesn't happen if we don't engage. We can sit here and do this church just like we're doing it. Every Sunday we can come in and somebody gives a word and we can worship God. But I'm talking about engaging. I'm talking about something maybe you might not be used to. It takes effort to win battles. It takes an effort to win battles. You just don't go out and pray a simple prayer and think that battle is going to be won. It takes great effort. It takes agony. You know, Jesus, we think about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he's in agony. And these sweats of blood, these droplets of blood begin to pour out of his head. Do you think that is stressful? Each one of us has those same things in our life. But what I'm talking about is us engaging and allowing the Father to come and heal our hearts, heal our spirit, heal us as a body, and heal us as individuals. We can't do it without him. We got to have him in this whole thing. If we're not going to engage, we're wasting our time. I just don't want to have, I got in the door. But I want to have this relationship that says, man, I've always been yours and I've never been outside the door. Why I say that is once you accept Christ, you're in the door. You can choose to walk back out. He's not going to push you out the door unless you choose to do that. That's your choice. It's going to be your choice to engage in the conversation with him. It's going to be your choice to engage in a fervent prayer of a righteous man, an effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. One thing is, you got to be righteous. You got to be a good boy or girl. This is where you have the Lord search your heart. See, we're not going to be righteous. Only Jesus was the righteous one. And his blood covers our sins. But we can strive to be like him. When we have the heart of the Father and the mind of Christ, the whole aspect of our life changes. So as we close this morning, I just want to give an opportunity. Sonny, would you come in front and fill us? Would you guys come forward? I'm just going to give you a few minutes. If there's anything that you want to have prayer for, now's the time to do it. If there's anything, the Bible says, confess your sins one to another, and they shall be forgiven. The first of all thing, we have to confess. We have to confess. We have to speak it out of our mouth. We have to allow our humility. We have to allow God to move. So I'm going to give you a few minutes. If there's anything that you need prayer for, the altars are open. Father God, I just come before you this morning. I know we're talking about focused prayer and we're talking about some things that we need to do to engage with you. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you just begin to speak to the hearts in this sanctuary today. I pray life begin to spring forth. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit begin to reveal some things to hearts this morning that are blocking them or hindering them from moving forward. If it's unforgiveness, if it's forgiveness, if it's abuse, or they can't forgive or don't think they can be forgiven, Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, just begin to press on their heart this morning. If everyone's okay. Father, this morning, we just want to thank you and glorify you today and praise your holy name. Father, we glorify you today. We exalt your name. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the King of the universe. And Father, you are the King of my life. And Father, you are the King of this church. You are the head of this church, Lord. So Father, I pray that you have every access to everything in this church, everything and everyone that stands behind this pulpit. that preaches your word, I pray that you have access to every one of our lives. Father, for this congregation, Father, I pray that they give you access to the things that's in their hearts that they have tamped down and buried and buried and buried. Built walls around it, put stones on top of it, and buried it. And said, it's gone forever, but you know what? It's still there. It's only gone until the Lord Jesus takes it away. So, Father, I pray that you'd begin to unravel those things that is in the spirit that is hindering ones from moving forward and gaining the benefits of being set free. Father, you set us free on the cross. For everything that is under the sun, I've been set free. There's nothing hindering me and nothing holding me back because of the sacrifice you paid. The only thing that can hold me back is the things that I hold down myself. So, Lord, today I pray, search me, O God. And, Father, if there's things that come up that we feel that we cannot do, I pray that you give us encouragement, Holy Spirit, to say the things that we need to say and do the things that we need to do to be set free. And, Father, now I pray over our prayer life this morning. As we begin to engage, Father, I know maybe the first time we pray, we might not see the result, but Father, I pray that each time we engage in you, and we pray that effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, as we pray and as we engage, and we pinpoint the action and the thing that we need, Father, you begin to answer the prayers of your saints. You begin to answer them. Father, I pray that you opened up the spiritual eye to see the things that are in the spirit that just literally make us in awe. And Father, I thank you for this body and this church of Christ-believing people that puts you on the forefront of their life. So Father, I just thank you and I glorify you today. I praise your holy name. Father, bless the ones that are in here today as they leave this church. Let your face will shine upon them and give them peace today. Even the ones at home, I pray you give them peace as they go about their day today and the rest of their week. Father, bless them. Father, let us be a signpost for you. As the world is opened back up, it's time to go out and show the world the power of Christ. Working in us. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.